Just because you've got a business and you want to make $1 million, we have to ask ourselves, why are we in business? Why are we doing the things that we want to do? Hello, I'm David from Business Videos Marketing Strategies, and I'm here to ask you whether you can actually improve your business and whether you believe you're on the right path. This show is all about enhancing your business through social media and video techniques. Today, we've got a very special guest, and she is Anne Graham from LegendaryValue.com. And they are all about helping small businesses, entrepreneurs, and even medium to large size businesses improve what they do through leveraging what they already have and thriving using the tools that they've got available. I'm very excited to have Anne on the phone. Welcome, Anne.
Thank you very much, David. Pleasure to be here.
Now, I notice you've got a lot to offer in terms of small business development and entrepreneurial business development as well. Can you firstly explain how you got into this business and why you started?
Absolutely. I'm delighted to do so. I actually started my career quite a long time ago with two big Fortune 500 companies. And what was interesting to me there is that it didn't really matter how hard or how long I worked, I was still one very small cog in a very big wheel. And it was at that point that I decided that I would much prefer to work with smaller companies where things actually got done, mm-hmm. with my eventual goal of being out on my own as an entrepreneur. So I spent the 10 years after I left the Fortune 500 really doing a lot of business turnarounds with small and mid-sized businesses. Businesses that had gotten themselves into trouble primarily because they were not looking after their customers, they were not watching their cash flow, and they were hurting. And I figured out quite a number of things along the way, not because I'm brilliant, but just because I banged my head against the wall enough times that things finally made sense. So if you ever see a photo of me, you'll see a big flat spot on my forehead from all of those days. I went out on my own in the year 2000, and I have been working with small and medium-sized companies ever since, basically helping them to implement a lot of tools to get more out of their business, because all of us go into business because of something we absolutely love to do. And most of us end up getting trapped behind a desk or in really boring meetings, doing email all day, doing spreadsheets all day, and we kind of lose track of what it was that made business really fun. So I always say that I love to put some play back in your day while we put some bucks on your bottom line. And that's what really drives me, David.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is a great goal, because if you can help others, then eventually you're going to be helping yourselves, because what goes around usually comes around, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, before we get further into this, I noticed on your website as well that you've got some great giveaway products. Can you tell us about those?
Sure, you bet. I'm a big fan of giving away value. I love to help people learn. I love to help people improve their businesses. So what you'll find when you go to my website, which is legendaryvalue.com, is you're going to find some free assessments. You're going to find some free white papers. You're going to find some downloadable reports, and we'll talk about the report in particular in just a little while, because I think there's a great little wake-up call for many small businesses. So you'll get some business fitness assessments, some freebies, some downloads, lots of good information in there for you.
Well, that sounds fantastic. Okay. Now, if I'm in small business and I think I'm doing okay, but I know that there's some room for improvement, do you have some tips that could help us along the way, like step by step?
I absolutely do. Let me share the first one with you that I think is really valuable. And this goes right back to that special report that you're able to download off my website. Every year, for about the last 7 years or so, I've been putting together a little benchmarking tool. And the benchmarking tool is called Return on People. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're a small business owner or you're a large business owner, one of the things you probably measure all the time is your R's, your return on assets, your return on inventory, your return on investment, your return on equity, all of those ROE, ROA, ROI business type terms. But we actually never measure return on people.
Right.
And people is the biggest asset that you've got, whether you're just an army of one, if you're a solopreneur like I am, or whether you've got 50 or 100 or 1,000 people reporting to you. Return on people is one of the most valuable metrics that you can keep your eye on. And when you start to really figure it out, it's really going to move the needle in your business. And here's why. In this benchmark, if you all remember the days when you used to get bell curved when you were in high school or college, and they put your grades on there, and some people would get an A, some people would get a B, a C, D, and an F.
Yep.
The benchmark works the same way. The companies that are earning an A bring in over $625,000 of profit per employee per year.
Wow.
The average company brings in about $52,000 of profit per employee per year. And most of the business owners that I've talked to, as I've been crisscrossing the country talking to over, well over 1,000 business owners in the last year or so,
mm-hmm.
most of them are down around $5,000 or $10,000.
Oh, wow.
So here's the conundrum, is if you give yourself or your employees a $5,000 raise, you've just wiped out your profits.
Oh,
you're not in a position to invest and grow in your business.
Mm.
Now, if you're earning $50,000 of profit per employee or $100,000 or $600,000, you've got a lot more latitude to do the right thing for your employees, the right thing for your business, the right thing for your customers. So one of the very first exercises I love to go through, and the report that's on my website will help you do this, is to go through that exercise and really benchmark yourself and say, where am I at today and where could I be? Now, not every business is going to be able to bring in $625,000 of profit per employee. One of the big strengths in the benchmarking report that I'm happy to just give away for free is it basically goes through all kinds of different industry categories. So whether you're in retail or if you're in professional services, maybe you're in manufacturing, you can actually benchmark yourself against others in your industry. And it's all about just setting up a new goal for yourself and saying, here's where we're at today, and this is what's really possible. It's very powerful.
Absolutely. So if people can get a glimpse of what they could be doing, then it really sparks more of a fire within them as
exactly.
well.
Exactly. Exactly. And an interesting story that goes along with that that might resonate with some people, especially those who are in their 50s as I am. Most people know who Roger Bannister is. Do you remember, David, who Roger Bannister is?
I've heard of him.
Yes. Well, he's the man who broke the four-minute mile
mm-hmm.
in 1952. What most people don't know about that story is that two Swedes had been battling for over 10 years in the 1940s to break the four-minute mile,
mm-hmm.
and they couldn't do it. They got hung up on what they'd always done. Now, when Bannister came along, one of his big, big motivations is that he didn't win gold in the 1950 Helsinki Olympics. In fact, he came in fourth.
Right.
And he decided, I don't want to hang up my cleats and retire until I make my mark. He set a goal, he trained, he got some coaching, and he broke the four-minute mile. But here's where the story gets very interesting. There's also a second runner by the name of John Landy, who just 48 days later broke Bannister's record. What does that tell us? If somebody can break through the barrier ahead of you,
yeah.
all of a sudden you have the confidence to say, I can go there too.
Yes.
And you can make it happen. There's a third and last part to the story.
Yeah.
When Bannister and Landy raced together later that year, they both broke the four-minute mile in the same race, the first time that it ever happened. It's interesting that Landy turned his head backwards to see where Bannister was, and Bannister surged ahead to the finish line. Every business owner and every business leader I've ever known looks backwards at how they did last year rather than looking forward to their possibilities.
Mm. That's a brilliant
change your mindset, you'll change your business.
Absolutely. Gee whiz. You know, as you were telling me that story, I felt a little smile come up on my face because it was just getting more exciting and more exciting. So imagine a business owner then recognizing that fact that they could actually surge forward and
absolutely.
Oh, wow, that's fantastic stuff. It really
is. You can follow where others have gone, and all you need is a really good roadmap to get there.
Yes, yes. Wow. So along those lines then, if we can future cast ourselves, is there, let's say, 5 or 6 steps to actually get to where we want to go faster, like to analyze our business and go from there?
Absolutely. Let me segue for just a second and give you sort of 5 quick steps you can do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also going to let you know that I do have a book coming out in the next 6 weeks. It is called Profit in Plain Sight,
mm-hmm.
and it actually walks you through in detail each of the 5 steps that I'm going to share with your listeners right now.
Great.
I've also have put together a quick little video for your listeners. If they send an email to wealthy@legendaryvalue.com, it's a free video. It'll just take them through anything in case they're in their cars today and they can't quite make notes of everything we're talking about.
Fantastic.
That might be useful to them.
Absolutely.
So if you look at the 5 key steps and profit is in plain sight. The first one is really locking in on customer loyalty. Now, I'm going to challenge your listeners whether or not they've ever had a situation where they were expecting a big order from a customer and it fell through. I think we've all been in that situation before, haven't we?
Yes, that's right.
And you wonder what happened. Why did they go choose the competition? You did a great proposal. You had a great product. You thought you were making progress. You thought the deal was yours. There are some very specific steps that you can do to lock down how loyal a customer really is to you and whether or not they're likely to go to your competition. And especially for small business, one order can really be make or break. So it's very important that you get a very clear sense of that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's step one, is just getting a very clear sense of customer loyalty and using some proven tools that I'll share in the video that give you a sense of how are we going to do that. The second piece of the puzzle is managing your top line growth, your revenue. Now, I'm going to challenge your listeners again with the idea that almost all of us at one time or another have fallen into what I call the revenue trap.
Right.
And that is, we focus on revenue to the exclusion of whether or not we make any money doing it. And I'm sure some of your listeners are shaking their head right now, sort of saying, yeah, I've got customers that I've lost money on. Yeah. Well, I don't know about them, but in business school, I was always taught that the customer writes us a check, not the other way around.
Mm.
So getting stuck in the revenue trap means that your top line looks really good. You've grown your business this year. You've sold a lot of product. And you've got nothing to show for it. There's a very, very simple way of plugging all of those profit leaks. And it comes into a very simple, straightforward set of three steps, where you basically figure out who your most profitable customers are, and you make sure you keep them.
Mm-hmm.
You figure out who your marginally profitable customers are, the ones that are kind of so-so, and there's some great little strategies you can use to either improve their profitability or help them do more profitable business with you.
Mm-hmm.
And the third one is what I call the vampire customers. Those are the ones that you know are costing you money.
Yes.
And you've got to plug those leaks.
Yes.
Now, probably some of your listeners, and probably you as well, David, you're shaking your head saying, oh, this sounds like accounting. Profit per customer? We don't calculate profit per customer. I don't know how to figure that out. And that's why a lot of people stay stuck in the revenue trap.
Yes.
So let me give you a simple little example of how we do that. David, you've got customers.
Yes.
Yes?
Yep.
Okay. How many of them pay you on time versus pay you late? And does that impact their profitability to you if you're financing them?
Oh, absolutely. Cash flow is a big
issue. Absolutely. And you know exactly who they are, don't you? You don't need any fancy accounting to know who pays on time and who doesn't.
Yes.
If you've got customers that are really high hassle, high maintenance, versus the ones that are just a pleasure to do business with.
Mm. Yep, that's right.
And does that affect their profitability? If you're spending all your time or your energy, you know, again, if you're a solopreneur, you're doing it all yourself. If you're a larger company, you maybe have a very busy customer service group that they're just taking care of this customer all the time, all day long. They can't get to everything else they need to do.
Yeah.
All of that hits your bottom line, doesn't it?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. So there's, for every company, there's about half a dozen different factors like that that you can just kind of eyeball and say, oh, these are the ones that are in pretty good shape. These are the ones that have few issues. These are the ones that are costing us a bundle.
I was going to say, do you classify them as like A-class customers, B-class customers, and C-class customers? I've heard that
bantered
around a bit.
Yeah, you call them ABCs. I call them green, yellow, and red. It's really whatever terminology resonates most with you. But the whole idea is, if you can figure out which one is in which category, then you can start to put together strategies to say, how are we going to fix this? How are we going to change that? But as long as you're in the revenue trap and all you can say is, well, they're a big customer and we don't want to lose that volume, you have no strategies that you can do with that.
Yes.
Make sense?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So that's a very simple thing, is start focusing on your profitable customers and your unprofitable customers. Just doing those two things alone will transform your business.
Yep. Yep. So better serving those who really serve you best as well.
Exactly. And, you know, when I do this in workshops with various organizations, we do it on a great giant set of flip charts and so on. It's very simple to do. We take about an afternoon. But I'll tell you, you can hear a pin drop sometimes. I was doing this just a few weeks ago with a personnel and staffing organization here in my hometown.
Mm-hmm.
And they turned out that their biggest revenue customer, the one that they thought was responsible for all the good things in their business, was in that red zone.
Really?
They were a vampire customer. And here's why. They priced very aggressively to get the business.
Mm.
Now, I'm sure you've never done that. I'm sure I've never done that. And I'm sure your listeners have never, never, never priced a little too aggressively.
Yeah, never.
There you go. Good thing that we're all on board on that one.
Mm.
But they were also over-servicing. Again, because they were big and they were important and they were a blue-chip client, they were just bending over backwards every time the customer actually asked them to find them a new staff member. Instead of their contract that said, okay, we'll provide 3 resumes for your review or 3 candidates, they were providing 6.
Oh, gee.
So now, just because someone's a vampire customer does not mean they're a bad customer. Most of the time, I would say probably 90% of the time, it's a self-inflicted wound on our part.
Mm.
Which means you don't have to fire that customer, because none of us like to fire that customer, lose the volume. That's a big deal for many of us.
Mm.
But if you can figure out where those self-inflicted wounds are, you can fix them.
Yes, better manage them.
Exactly. And just a matter, too, of having adult conversations with a customer to say, hey, we love you, we want to do business with you, but this is not quite working for us.
Mm-hmm.
To go forward, we need to be looking at these things in a different way, whether it's pricing or service or demanding customers or anything else. There's just an adult conversation there that needs to happen.
Mm.
Most of us avoid that.
Yeah, well, that sounds really, really pointed, and now that you say it, it sounds very obvious, but I suppose it's not obvious at the time.
Well, you know, there's a reason I called the book Profit in Plain Sight. I didn't come up with that title. It was one of my clients who said, everything you've shown us was right underneath our nose. It's all in plain sight, and we weren't doing it. Doesn't that make you just hit your hand against your forehead and get a big flat spot?
Yeah, that's right. Speaking of hitting your head, I said to someone just the other day that there's someone who keeps bashing their head against the brick wall will either, 1, give up, 2, get a real big headache, or 3, change brick walls.
There you go, change brick walls. I think most of us prefer that last option.
Yes.
We just change the brick wall and we assume that something else will change in terms of that pain that's going on in our forehead.
Yeah. So what's next on that line?
Well, the next step on that, so we gave you the first 2 steps. The first one is to really lock in your customer loyalty using some very simple conversational techniques to just say, okay, do you like us? Do you not like us? Where are we going here? It's not quite that simple, but again, don't see the details in the video. Number 2 was about top-line growth. You definitely want to make sure that you're going after top-line growth, but you can't do it at the expense of profitability.
Mm-hmm.
So let me give you a third way that sort of blends the top-line growth, the revenues, as well as the bottom-line profit. Simply look for 1% everywhere in your business. Now, in the video, I'm going to actually show on a whiteboard. It's kind of hard to imagine over radio, but I'm going to actually show a little calculation that you do to figure out what an impact of 1% in terms of either increased revenues or decreased costs means to your business. But I'll give your listeners the ballpark figures right now.
Okay.
For most businesses, simply shifting by 1% more revenue or 1% less cost is going to make a difference on their bottom line of somewhere between 15% and 50%.
No way.
So how many of your listeners and you would like to increase your profits almost overnight? This is not a get-rich-quick scheme, but almost overnight by 50%.
Gee whiz.
Find 1% everywhere.
Gee whiz.
Now let me tell you a funny little story. I was out doing a series of seminars, and I had the CFO, the Chief Financial Officer, in my group 1 week, and I had the CEO in my group the next week.
Mm-hmm.
And the CFO was just all over this one. She just thought this was a great idea. But what was really funny is the next week, the CEO came into the session. He said, I don't know what you did to her, but she loves this stuff. She went to all our suppliers and asked them for a 1% discount, and the very first supplier she spoke to gave us 5. Whoa. Okay, so in their business, that 1% was making about a 20% difference to them on their bottom line.
Yes.
So that 5% that she found from one supplier, that's a 100% difference in their bottom line.
Gee whiz.
Their profit basically doubled.
Wow, talk about small changes making a big difference.
Small changes. So you can do it on the customer side
yeah.
in terms of fine-tuning some of your pricing.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you're in a very competitive market, if your customers aren't willing to spend 1% more with you for all of the good things that you do, there's something wrong with your whole value proposition. And that's a different topic altogether.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Okay.
And then
we tackle the first 3.
Yeah, yeah. And just on that last point, you've only just said wiping or scraping 1% off from the customer point of view, imagine scraping another 1% inefficiency of your own procedures off as well.
Absolutely. Find 1% everywhere in your company.
Gee whiz.
And it will transform your business.
Gee whiz. This is good stuff. Keep going.
Isn't this fun? Don't you just love this? Yeah. I get such a kick out of sharing this information because it really does move the needle.
Yeah. Okay, number four?
Number four. You ready for another big tip?
Yes, please.
Okay. So here's idea number four.
Mm-hmm.
Differentiating from the competition is difficult for most of us these days.
Absolutely.
We all tend to look a little bit the same, and when our customers see us looking the same, they grind us on price.
Yes.
We lose our 1% advantage, right? Because we start discounting more rather than discounting less.
Yes.
And another little free tip for your folks is if you're used to doing a 10% discount, do a 9% discount. There's 1% for you right there.
Oh, yes.
But let me go back to differentiating from the competition. David, do you love flying by airline these days, traveling by airline?
I can't say it's my favorite hobby, but...
Not your favorite hobby. Well, wait a minute. Why is that? Because when you think about it, the plane usually takes off from the right airport.
Yeah.
It usually lands, and it usually lands in the right spot. So there's really no quality issue there, is there?
No.
It's they're doing what they promised you they would do. They're sticking you in a different spot.
Yes.
So why do we all hate airline travel so much when they're technically providing us the product and service that we bought from them?
Mm.
Well, it's the experience, isn't it?
Yes, that's right.
They pack us in like cattle. Yeah. They don't feed us. They don't water us. They put us in tight little seats. The flight crews are surly. They're obnoxious. They're just not friendly people.
Yeah.
The one thing that small business especially can do so much better than big business is to put that experience piece in there that shows that you care.
Right.
Shows that you welcome them as a customer.
Yeah.
Let me give you an amazing example that just blew me away last week. I was in the U.S., I was in San Jose at a conference, and when I arrived the very first night in the hotel, it was a smaller hotel, not one of the major chains,
mm-hmm.
I had an email from the manager of the hotel welcoming me and wanting to make sure that my stay was going to be pleasant.
Wow.
When was the last time that you saw anything other than one of those silly little customer satisfaction surveys at the very end of your stay? This was happening at the front end.
Yeah.
And it turns out that I had actually very slow service in their restaurant that night. So I just said, hey, you're doing a great job in all these different areas. There's some this is all good. By the way, I know you're trying to get better. Here's an area in your restaurant that you might want to look at.
Mm-hmm.
David, what do you think happened next?
You probably got some sort of complimentary dinner or at least a great thank you.
Yes. I got an email back from him saying, I'm so sorry to hear that. Thank you for sharing. I will take care of it. In the meantime, all of those charges have been removed from your bill.
Gee, that's fantastic.
Now, next time you go, what's your biggest hotel chain down there in Australia?
Mm.
The next time you're staying there, see if they treat you that way or not. Small business can do this.
Yes.
Overnight. Yeah. It takes almost nothing to put those little added touches in there. But which hotel am I going to stay in next time I'm in San Jose?
Oh.
One of the competitors? Or am I going back to this wonderful hotel that just gave me a total wow?
Yeah, well, that's totally obvious. I mean, if you get treated well, you certainly
because
want to go back to that
place.
Because
they actually showed that they appreciated my business.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, well, that's a really good story, actually, and I'm sure a lot of people can really appreciate that in small business as well. I can really appreciate that point because in any small business, if you get treated better than the average Joe, and you get treated like a really decent human being and a thank you with it, you absolutely shine and you really appreciate it. So, of course, you're going to go back to those places.
Exactly. Now, here's linking back to what we just talked about. Do you think if I go to San Jose again, which I will be doing twice more in the fall, would I be willing to pay 1% more for that hotel room?
Oh, without a doubt.
Would I pay 10% more? Would I pay 20% more? Absolutely, because the story I just shared with you was only one of the magical things that happened during the entire time in that conference based on the way that this hotel treats its guests.
Yeah, and that's a great point of difference.
There's your 1%.
Mm.
Okay, so we're up to number four now. We've done four.
Yep.
The last one, and you'll laugh at this one, is innovation and creativity are on almost everyone's to-do list. And I've yet to meet any person, entrepreneur, big business owner, small business owner, mid-sized business owner, who actually has a plan to do it. Is innovation a big thing for you folks down in Australia?
Oh, absolutely. You got to keep moving, otherwise you'll be stagnant.
Right. But guess what? Not all of us have the next iPhone in us, right?
Mm.
Usually innovation is associated with R&D, research and development. It's associated with big budgets. It's associated with a huge risk of failure. And guess what? That approach to innovation is what actually drives inventions.
Oh, okay.
Now, do you remember the Segway? We all know the story of the Segway.
Yeah.
That wonderful little machine that was supposed to change the future of the world that was a really cool invention.
Yeah.
And now they're just little two-wheeled sort of things that run around the airports now and then. They never did take over the world.
No, not quite.
There's a difference between innovation, which actually solves real problems, and invention, which is just very cool stuff that no one wants to buy.
Yeah, that's right. Well, with that in mind, we're just going to have a quick word from our sponsor, so don't go away. We'll be back in a moment.
Stuck in a rut with your business venture or position at work? You now have the opportunity to break through that invisible barrier that is somewhat holding you back. Implement this proven laws of success with the Absolute Master Teacher. Watch your level of success skyrocket in a matter of days. Simply go to mywealthyweb.com/the-laws. That's mywealthyweb.com/THELAWS and download your copy today. This is one decision that you will be truly thankful for. That's mywealthyweb.com/the-laws.
Welcome back, everybody. We're with Anne Graham from legendaryvalue.com. Let's keep going, Anne. What's next?
The last chapter that I have in the book and the last piece that I'll share in the video that I'll put together for your folks is a little bit about very, very simple ways of innovating. And it's not unlike the story I just gave you around the hotel that I stayed at.
Yes.
Oftentimes, the innovations that we can do don't have anything to do with bells and whistles on our product. It's often just simply the way we make our customers feel.
Right.
That little extra touch, that little extra mile, something that costs us almost nothing, but solves a problem for them. And I'll give you a very, very simple example here. We all know that ball bearings are pretty boring little products, right?
Mostly, yes.
There's not a lot to them. Okay. So in this case, I was working with a ball bearings company. Their innovation, they actually went in and asked their customers, and they said, you know, what do you actually use these things for? Take us through your process. Or process, depending on whether you're in Canada or Australia. Process or process?
Process, yeah.
What they found is that when the ball bearings were being used, they were being used to repair, you know, forklift trucks and things like that.
Yeah.
And there were a whole bunch of other little bits and pieces that needed to go along with that. So you needed some lubricant, and you needed some basic tools, and you needed some little nuts and some washers and some this and some that.
Yeah.
Typically, you needed more than just the ball bearing to make the repair happen.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes, these things were stored in different areas of the factory. Oftentimes, they would be out of something, so they couldn't do the repair as quickly as they needed to, and that forklift truck would sit idle.
Yes.
The innovation was nothing more than a Ziploc bag. Think about it. What they did is they created a little repair kit.
Yeah.
They basically said, here's the problem that you're having. We're not going to come up with a bigger, better ball bearing for you. Instead, we're just going to make your life easier.
Yeah.
We're going to actually do the equivalent of putting all the things you need in a Ziploc bag.
Oh.
We're going to save you all the time and energy of placing multiple purchase orders for all these little bits and pieces.
Yeah.
We're going to save you the aggravation of trying to manage the inventory of all these little bits and pieces all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to get your forklift truck back in service faster.
Yes, and time is
money. Now, is that an innovation that people would want to buy?
Oh, absolutely. And it's funny.
Absolutely.
And it's funny you mentioned Ziploc bags, because you buy a game from a game shop to play with your family or a group of friends, you open the bag up, and the thing disintegrates, and you can't put it back together.
Oh, doesn't it, though?
So why don't they include a Ziploc bag in one of those things?
So here's a suggestion for your listeners. If any of you do business with a game company where the game disintegrates when you open the box, for goodness sakes, go and sell them some Ziploc bags.
Yes.
It's just that easy sometimes.
Yeah.
If people can focus on those five key areas, business leaders, individual contributors, owners of small companies, mm-hmm. you're going to transform your business. You're going to transform your profitability. And you're just going to make your life so much easier, because guess what? All the fun is on the other side of your desk. It's not doing email and spreadsheets. It's out there doing these kinds of things, listening to your customers, figuring out what's going to work for them and what's not,
yeah.
and making it happen. That's why we all went into business in the first place.
Yeah, yeah. So it really sounds like you've got to be in touch with the actual end user and the target market.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I'll tell your listeners more about in the video mm-hmm. is I use a technique called a value creation conversation,
right?
A VCC. Catchy little slogan, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
It's not a sales call. It's basically an executive-to-executive conversation about where is your business going, how can we do a better job of supporting you and serving you in that space?
Mm-hmm.
What are some of your worst fears as you look at your market space? What makes you roll your eyes when you're dealing with us? There's about 10 or 12 questions in a typical value creation conversation.
Yes.
And the richness of the insights that you will pull out from your customers and the opportunities, let me come back to a story on that in just a second, the richness of insights that you'll get are going to drive the entire future strategy of your business. You won't have to dream up new innovations. You won't have to try and guess as to whether or not you're getting the next order. You're not going to have to worry about where your top line or your bottom line is coming from and how they consider you on service. You're going to know exactly what you need to do in your business. I had a client. He's in the kitchen cabinetry manufacturing business. And that's a pretty commoditized business, right? I mean, there's small kitchen shops, there's big kitchen shops, there's all kinds of people who manufacture kitchen cabinets.
Yep.
We're going through this process together to step them through all five of those stages. And it starts with going out and talking to your customer. And he said, I don't know, Ann. He said, you know, it's I'm pretty busy right now, and it's this, it's that. You know, I've got other things coming up. And part of my role as a coach is to hold people's feet to the fire.
Yeah.
So I said, Alan,
yeah.
Alan, you said you would. You made a commitment. Let me help you do it. What are we going to do first? He went out and did a little quick little road trip. He blitzed 12 customers in 1 week. In the third customer that he spoke to, he uncovered a $600,000 opportunity.
Whoa.
And he's in a $15 million business.
Yeah.
Did that just move his needle?
Oh, absolutely.
So here's the rest of the story. It turns out that that customer used to be a $1 million customer for him
yeah.
and had gone down to about $400,000 worth of business. So Alan said, you know, you must be struggling in your business. You know, we really used to do a lot of business together, and your business has dropped back. You know, what's going on in your business? I'm worried for you. My customer said, our business has never been stronger.
Yeah.
We doubled our business last year. What do you mean you're not getting as much business from us as you used to?
Yeah.
He said, I can guarantee you twice as much business next year as we're doing with you this year. They just fall into different habits. Their salespeople were still calling on them, but they were calling on the purchasing level.
Yeah.
The CEO said, no, I love your product. I know your product. We have a great working relationship. I am sending more business your way, effective immediately.
Wow.
That was about an hour and a half of this CEO's time
yeah.
to go and find a $600,000 opportunity that was simply not available to his salespeople.
Mm.
His salespeople weren't doing anything wrong. It just took a different conversation,
yeah.
an up-leveled conversation to uncover a whole new opportunity that they'd been missing out on.
Gee whiz, ask a different question, you get a different answer.
You certainly do, and don't you think that's the fun way to spend your day?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Gee whiz. These are gemstones, and they really are.
Well, I'm glad you think so, because they are the things that made me very successful during my 10 years doing corporate turnarounds. These are just the simple things that when you hear them, you're sort of like, I knew that.
Yeah.
Or in some cases, maybe you're like, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
But all of these are very, very easy to implement.
Yeah.
We're talking about, for goodness sake, having a conversation with your customers.
Yeah.
We're talking about raising your prices or lowering your costs by 1%. We're talking about making sure the experience is memorable rather than a nightmare.
Yeah.
These are things we should be doing in our business anyways. But when we get caught up in all the other gunk that goes on in our business all day long, we fall away from these things. And sometimes you just need that little bit of awareness to get put back on track.
Yeah. Well, it really is the difference between working on your business and working in the trenches in your business, isn't it?
Exactly. Exactly. And when you and I were talking just before the show, David, we were talking about wet diapers.
Yeah.
Would you like the wet diaper story?
Yes, please.
Okay. Great little takeaway. The only person who likes change is a baby with a wet diaper. The rest of us are in our comfort zone, aren't we?
Yeah, that's right.
So today, what I've tried to do for you and your listeners is I've tried to give you all, a whole lot of wet diapers. You should be squirming right now, saying, this thing, it's cold, it's wet, it's damp, it does not fit, and I want to change this for a dry diaper.
Yeah.
When you get that feeling of cold, wet diaper, change becomes absolutely effortless.
Yeah.
So, for example, when you share at an executive level or as an entrepreneur or with your management team, depending on the size of company you're with, that Roger Bannister story and how much your return on people is today versus what is actually possible, that's a wet diaper. When you have a customer grinding you on price and you know you're worth more, now you know the difference. You can just do a 1% increase, or you can do a 1% cost decrease. You can recover from that. It's a wet diaper going to a dry diaper.
Yeah.
Every time you want your team, anybody on your team, if you've got a team and you're not just a solopreneur, every time you want your team to change, just figure out how to put them in a wet diaper.
Jimmy.
And they will follow you anywhere.
The funny thing is, Anne, you make it sound so simple, and coming from you, it just flows like a river. It's fantastic.
Is that a very polite way of saying I talk a lot?
No, not at all. I often think I talk too much, but gee whiz, that is really good. And I'm sure that anyone in business or even a young entrepreneur who's wanting to start can actually see now, just from these small tips that we've been talking about, that there is an opportunity to have little changes which get a great big result.
Absolutely. These are absolutely tiny little changes that really, really have big impact. Whether you're thinking about starting a business, these are foundational pieces that if you get them right at the beginning of your business, your life as an entrepreneur is going to be so much easier and so much more successful than the people who are maybe focused on saying, hey, I want to create the next iPhone, how do I start? These are absolute foundational pieces to how do you build a great business.
Yeah.
If you've already been in business for a little while, I'll bet you're thinking of stories and examples and you're like, yeah, okay, we can do better on that.
Yep.
Again, it's just taking those small steps, one at a time, and making your business better.
Yeah.
If you're in a larger organization, it is a matter of getting your people on side. And that's where things like books and videos and so on really come in handy, because then you don't have to do all the explaining. These are things that I can help explain to your people. Mm. That's where it makes a difference.
I heard a speech by Bob Proctor, the great...
He's wonderful.
Yeah, he's an amazing speaker. I heard him talking about if an organization changes, they need to make sure that everyone in the organization changes at the same time. Otherwise, people will be left back on the shelf.
And, absolutely.
And little changes are little subtle things where everyone can change together.
Exactly. There's also nothing worse than as a business leader trying to do it all yourself.
Yeah.
If you don't have your team changing with you, your people changing with you to say, okay, we are on board, then there's nothing that's going to happen that's good in your business.
Yeah.
This wonderful client of mine, Alan, that I was telling you about, who found the $600,000, I worked with him and his team the following weekend in New Orleans at their sales conference, their annual sales conference, and I have never seen such a passionate group of people who want to follow their leader. And it's because he does the right things. He does it with a great deal of enthusiasm. He does simple things, and he lays out his plan, saying, here's where I'm trying to go.
Yeah.
Here's how we're going to get there. Will you help me be part of this? And they do. I've never seen such enthusiasm in a group before in my life.
Yeah.
Start at the top.
Do you know, the funny thing is that as we're talking, I'm noticing myself smile as you're talking about these stories, because they actually mean stuff, and they actually show that these things work.
They do. They work like a charm, and it does not take a lot of effort. You know, one of the other pieces that I'm really committed to, because this is something that I've experienced in my own career, is, well, let me ask you a question. How long do you think it takes to implement all this really great stuff that you and I have been talking about today? How much time would you spend every week doing all of this?
Well, for the most people, not much at all. Yeah.
Not much at all. Let me tell you something. You can do it. If the average business person spends about 90 minutes per day on email. And unless you work in the order entry department, email does not move the needle in your business.
Yeah, that's right.
If you take 90 minutes once a week, not once a day, 90 minutes once a week, and follow the roadmap, that takes you through these five different areas, yeah. It becomes very, very easy. So what do you want to do? This is a personal choice for you and for each of your listeners. Do you want to spend the rest of your life doing email, or would you rather go out there and take about 20% of that time, go do something way more fun in your business?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's an interesting question.
Hard choice, isn't it?
Very hard choice. You can get back to me on that one, David.
So you're mentioning about this roadmap and these steps, then how can I, as a business owner and as a listener now, how can I find them? Where do I find it?
Okay, you bet. The book Profit in Plain Sight will be released in 6 weeks' time.
Yep.
And it will be on Amazon, available broadly around the world, so in Australia as well as here in Canada.
Yes.
If you want to get started a little bit more easily and a little more quickly, all you have to do is send me a quick email to wealthy@legendaryvalue.com.
Yeah.
And what I'll do is I'll just send you back a free little video. It's about 15 minutes long. It's going to take you through those five areas that we talked about today. It's going to have a few quick little solutions for you. And it's going to point you in the direction of the book for when it comes out, hot off the press, and it's available to you. So you're very, very welcome to start this whole process at no charge whatsoever. It's just the investment of your time to watch the video. And then if you feel like you want to step up to something a little bit more, the book will be available to you.
Yep.
There are links throughout the book to more and more and more free training videos. And there's also something that I call Profit U. Profit is in university. That gives you the full meal deal in terms of exactly right down to the agendas you need to follow every week.
Yeah.
How to make it happen.
Yeah. But being in business, obviously if you're going to get some sort of consultant like yourself to help out and actually do a good job, then having a full-on consultancy work with you, then you don't mind paying some money. So do you offer these services as well?
Yes, I do.
Yep.
When I do work in person with clients, it's usually a mid to high five-figure investment.
Yeah.
So we're talking somewhere between $50,000 to $100,000.
Yeah.
That is for a full year of coaching, which typically results in millions of dollars of income.
Yes.
Over and above. But that's out of reach for a lot of people, especially smaller businesses, especially entrepreneurs. And that's why I've put all the training into an online format as well.
Yes.
In this thing I call Profit U. And it's just at your own pace, at your own speed. But I'm always available by email, and I'm always available by phone to help out if you get stuck along the way.
Oh, gee, it really sounds like that if you're in business today and you think you're hitting some sort of brick wall and you don't know where to go next and you need to make small incremental changes, then you need to get onto Anne Graham straight away. You need to send her an email and at least to go have a look at legendaryvalue.com and see if you can download that free report and video that she's got to offer and take it from there, because it sounds like you can move forward in small incremental steps and make a real difference, because everyone's afraid of change. However, small change is a lot easier to swallow. Gee, Anne, this is fantastic stuff, and I really appreciate you coming onto the call today, because it really means that people can move forward in their business without too much drama.
And it's absolutely been my pleasure to be with you and your listeners today, David. If I can serve any of you in any way, don't hesitate to reach out and be in touch. I'm always just delighted to speak with business leaders of any level and just say, okay, where are we going from here? How are we going to help you get there?
Yeah.
And there's no one-size-fits-all. It's whatever works for you and your business and is affordable for you.
Yeah. Well, that's really good news. And, you know, the funny thing about the world is that it's such a small, small place today. I'm speaking with someone I'm here in Australia. I'm talking to someone in Canada. And it's as if we're just sitting next to each other. So you as a small business owner or a small entrepreneur wanting to get going, once you actually make that initial contact, a quick phone call puts you right next to Anne, as if you're sitting right face to face. And with Skype and with video conferencing and all those other tools, it literally means the world is such a small place. I really appreciate
exactly.
you joining us. Fantastic stuff. I know I'll be putting this up on our website too, so people can find you there as well at mywealthyweb.com and also at businessvideomarketingstrategies.com, so they can find you there as well. Thank you so much, Anne. It's been a pleasure.
My pleasure, David. Now, go use this stuff. It's worthwhile.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I'm David from Business Video Marketing Strategies, and I really appreciate you joining us today. And I want you to implement these steps straight away without mucking around. Don't put it off. It is the time to do it now. Thank you very much for joining us. Bye-bye for now. Thank you, Anne. I really appreciate that call. Fantastic.
David, that was an awesome call for me. I had a blast doing this with you. Thank you so much for giving me some wonderful leading questions and just bouncing back with your own examples and so on. I think this was really terrific. And I hope your listeners just had a blast with it too.
I'm sure they will. Now, this will actually air in about 3 or 4 weeks' time.
Okay.
And I'll send you a link to that.
Oh, I'd be delighted to get that. Thank you.
Yep.
And I'll post that on my website as well. My website is going to be going a complete overhaul in the next little while.
Okay.
But I am delighted to actually post that link on my webpage as well.
Yes.
And if I can drive some more traffic to you or get some more visibility for you and for your business,
yep,
then that's just all a good thing.
Okay. And it will also end up on another blog site called the Blogomatic and then end up on iTunes as well.
All right. Wonderful. Well, it sounds like you've got a great little system going here. I might actually have to come back and pick your brains on all this, David, because I'm actually starting my own syndicated radio show, or have been invited to, here in the U.S. They'll be on 1,000 stations across the U.S. And I definitely want to make sure that I maximize my exposure in all these different ways by posting it here, there, and everywhere. So if I can pick your brains on that somewhere along the way as to how you do all of this, that would be fantastic.
Well, social media is so available to everyone, and the good thing is that once you actually do know how, it's like, oh, wow. And the avenues and the streams that people actually come in and find you, it's quite amazing. You think, how did you actually get to my site? Or how did you do this? And it's quite amazing that it all links in together. But that's fantastic. I'd be delighted to help.
Excellent. Well, that could make a huge, huge difference in my business. And hopefully today I've made a difference in yours.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you so much again.
Terrific.
I'm absolutely still smiling. It's really good call.
Well, that's wonderful. You and I will be connecting again, no question about that. I think we're on the same page. And like I say, if we can help both our businesses thrive, well, that's what we're here and that's what we're all about for, right?
Absolutely. You're on LinkedIn,
aren't you?
You
got it. Yes, I am.
Okay, yeah. I'll send you an invitation.
Have I seen an invitation from you yet there? I don't recall that. So if you want, it's under Anne C. Gray. If you look under Anne C. Gray in Vancouver, or if you just click on the link at the bottom of any of the emails that I sent you, you'll get right through to my LinkedIn and let's stay connected that way.
I'll do that over the next few days. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, David, for the invitation. It was a real, real pleasure.
Absolutely. Take care. Enjoy your evening.
Thank you so much. And same to you.
Bye-bye then.
Bye-bye now.